Please check the brake and ride carefully.
I don't have a crystal ball, but I think what we're seeing is a relatively new form of transportation becoming a permanent part of many communities.
The e-scooter and e-bike sharing program is back for users who rely on it, but how does it benefit the rest of the community?
64% of all e-scooter trips resulted in an average purchase of about $46.
And how do we build on this and get more commuters out of their cars?
We all recognize that when it comes to transportation, these are very much invisible lines.
Hi, I'm Sherry.
And I'm Sam. Welcome to your Region Pod. In this episode, we explore the opportunities and challenges we face as we work towards a greener way of getting around. And we'll also look at what other countries are doing in sustainable mobility.
Let's start with the success of the e-scooter and e-bike program. Just how many are in use out there? And what is the program doing for the larger community? Isaac Ransom and his team at Neuron are tracking that.
Neuron is Canada's leading e-scooter, shared e-scooter provider. And we also provide shared e-bikes in a number of our markets that we operate across Canada. We currently operate in 15 cities, including the region of Waterloo. What we're seeing right now is that there's a high use case for those that are commuting to work and school. We're seeing the riding areas expand and demand in those areas continue to grow. We're seeing a lot of riders tell us that, you know, they're looking for additional places to park, additional places to ride, which means that it truly is, it's an alternative transportation option. We're also seeing, too, that it integrates well with the transit network in the municipality. So a lot of rides start and stop at transit stations and are part of people's daily journey to and from work or wherever they're going in the community. Last year, the riders had collectively traveled almost 400,000 kilometers across the region in the three communities that are part of the pilot. And what riders told us through our research at the end of the year was that 64% of all e-scooter trips resulted in an average purchase of about $46, which has ended up having a significant economic contribution of almost $8.2 million in the region. In addition to that, we're seeing that a lot of people are starting to replace their personal vehicle or using an Uber or taxi to take an e-scooter, which by our calculations internally, by how many kilometers riders have traveled, has limited an estimated 20 tons of CO2 emissions. So the impact of the program in the region has been quite significant since the launch. And I think we're going to continue to see these riding trends continue. And as it becomes more integrated into the community and serves a larger riding area, I think we can expect to see more kilometers traveled, of course, and a greater impact on the environment and the local economy.
We do know the program is popular among university and college students. Eric Melliton from Wilfrid Laurier shared their experience and how they plan to build it out.
I am the manager of the Sustainability Office at Wilfrid Laurier University. Our office has been around since 2009, 2010. It was actually created by a student referendum wanting to have a sustainability office established.
And how is this partnership with Neuron aligned with your institutional goals at Laurier? And how have you been able to measure that success?
That's a really good question. For us, we recently published our 2023-2028 Sustainability Action Plan, which is our third iteration of this plan since 2009. And it has a longstanding goal related to transportation, to be able to increase the use of sustainable transportation opportunities within our Laurier community by about 5%. Doesn't sound like a big number, but when you have a community of about almost 23,000 people, on multiple campuses in Brantford, Kitchener, Milton, and at Waterloo. This is a goal with a lot of flexibility and could impact a lot of people. Because the goal is flexible and has various opportunities, we can actually facilitate and pursue many options for people in active transportation. We've tried to pursue that in partnering with regional and community-led initiatives, so partnering with the region of Waterloo and the city, initiating pilot opportunities with our stakeholders, which in this case is that, bringing in the Neuron program for us. And then our readiness to utilize the Neuron program, encourage other ICNI stakeholders, industrial, commercial, and institutional stakeholders in the Waterloo region, to look at us as a leader within the community. So we were happy to positively influence our peers at University of Waterloo and Conestoga College to really see that students themselves could have these opportunities at whatever campus or institution that they were going to, And then that would also influence positively community members.
Do you have any advice for other institutions seeking to integrate e-bikes and low carbon transport into their mission and values?
We're actually in the process of exploring replicating this program at our Brantford campus in partnership with the city of Brantford. I know that they're exploring this in the long term, and we wanted to be an early adopter similar to what we have here. The biggest things that we've been really encouraging is that it really needs that municipal kind of transitional partner. It's tough if the units are only available on the campus footprint, and then after that, you can't use it anywhere, right? And so this becomes a problem if the municipality doesn't have staging locations and parking locations within their footprint at a broader scale at the public level.
E-bikes and e-scooters are just one piece of this larger network of sustainable transportation. There's car sharing, walking, bus, light rail. Kevin Marshall from the region tells us how we are building on and connecting greener ways of getting around into a network of alternative and sustainable travel options.
I like to say that our team, our priority is to make sustainable transportation the easy choice for everyone in Waterloo Region. Why we're doing this, when we look at the region's new strategic plan, you know, there's a major focus on expanding equitable public and active transportation networks across the region. And again, that idea is to make it easier for people to get around and make climate-friendly choices by doing so. But it also unlocks affordable housing, economic development, and resiliency. It also future-proofs us for new modes of transportation. And of course, the climate lens component of that as well, too. It's also part of the region's community commitment to climate action. So we have targets of reducing our community emissions by 50% by 2030, and 80% by 2050. And in order to do so, one of the commitments of council is that by 2050, most of our trips are taken using active transportation. And really important here is supported by a robust public transit system. So that idea of integrated sustainable transportation is not only embedded in our strategic plan, it's embedded in both our corporate and community commitments to reduce the impacts of climate change by moving people to more sustainable modes of transportation. We are directly competing with the car, and in doing so, it's making all those connections between different modes of sustainable transportation as easy and intuitive as possible.
You just mentioned briefly how it goes to unlock housing. What did you mean by that?
When we look at our strategic plan and homes for all, you know, one of the key things we want to keep in mind is that when we're tackling affordability challenges in the community, when you're balancing transportation costs against housing costs, when you're balancing, you know, cost of living against housing costs against owning a car, opportunities to look at sustainable transportation options that are either low cost or, you know, something you could do with on your own two legs if you're walking in a more walkable community are all pieces that start to be part of that equation. And what's really important is when it's integrated. So the idea that you can walk to a nearby transit stop, take your transit trip, potentially pick up your bike share or an e-scooter as part of our shared micromobility network that our team has been advancing. These are all components to make it easier to live car-free or reduce the number of vehicles that your household has, and also open up new areas of the community to get around to and from the office or to school or for work and leisure as well.
One community that has done a great job of getting people out of their cars is Karlsruhe, Germany, a community similar in size to Waterloo Region. Only a third of all travel throughout the city is by car.
We caught up with traffic ecology expert Johan Eckert while he was in Waterloo for the Ontario Bike Summit. He shared with us the Karlsruhe experience.
I'm looking on the environmental impacts of traffic, noise, air, greenhouse gases, and I'm looking on the environmental friendly traffic modes, mainly walking and cycling.
Can you tell us a bit about your experience with Karlsruhe?
The city of Karlsruhe is quite interesting because it was voted 2 times in a row the most bicycle friendly city in Germany. But it's not only about biking, the city. It's also the city which has the most car-sharing cars in Germany. It's a city which has a very good transport system. And there's even something called the Karlsruhe model of tram train system. So it's a city where a lot of kind of sustainable mobility innovations are going on. And we are happy to be located there. And as researchers learn how this is going on and have a kind of a big real laboratory where we see change happen.
Can you talk a bit about some of the measures that have been taken over the years to try and work towards sustainable mobility?
Yeah, so it started at the beginning of the 90s that we really kind of were brushing up our transport system, public transport system, with innovation we call tram train system. So we have trains using heavy rail going right to the city center, and there's a certain point where they change from the rail system to the tram system, but everything one train directly going to the city center from the region, because this was the idea: the people don't want to go to the main rail station, they want to go to the city center. Why should they be forced to change trains? And this innovation really kind of installed a very good public transport system in our region. That's one innovation we see. Yeah. Then we had private actors who really were kind of pushing this idea of car sharing, yeah? Not only a car, but having the opportunity to use a car, not really driven so much by the administration, really public, as a private sector stakeholders doing it. I think this was a really important thing. Yeah? And then a lot of things were adding up when they had something what we called a sustainable urban mobility plan, which we tried to promote an integrated approach, also including as this idea of 15 minutes city. Yeah, this wasn't this term around when they did it, but it's basically the idea of having shops and everything you need for daily life right around. Yeah. Then they had this big program of promoting cycling, and they really took serious. And in recent time, we see a lot of innovations of getting citizens involved in the whole process.
If you use your car to get around and you don't live close to where you work, it can be hard to imagine life without a vehicle.
I really do rely on my car. I commute to work, and where I live in the suburbs, it's really the easiest way for me to get around. Though I think if I had an e-bike access out here in the suburbs, I think that would make travel a lot more easier. I would be more apt to use it. But we spoke with Kevin about how we can try to overcome these challenges and hang up the keys.
Overcoming people's learned behaviors is a challenge we often do face. Think of your big life moments, right? The first time you got your career, or you started school, or you finished school, or getting your first career. Those are kind of what we call those critical moments when you can look at, you're taking a look at your different ways you might get to and from wherever you need to go. But that's a moment in time, and things change. What happens is people make a decision in that moment, and then sometimes don't look back and say, well, I looked at transit, 15 years ago and it didn't work for me. Well, since then we've launched a light rail transit line. We've reoriented an entire transit network with more frequent service and Cambridge, Kitchener, and Waterloo. And then we've tied in a shared micromobility system to make it easier to connect to and from transit if you're a further distance from a station or stop. So there's a lot more out there. So one of the big things we try to do is encourage people to try to see and highlight what's in the community.
So the challenges go beyond behaviors and to how ownership of roads and services is divided. Kevin tells us how his team is working with municipal partners to create invisible lines between multiple jurisdictions across the region.
Whether you're a cyclist, you're walking on the trail for the first time in a community, whether you're taking transit for the first time, you want to be able to get to your end destination. You want it to be an intuitive process and as seamless as possible. So we're really lucky that we have a coordinated group, both of city, at the local municipalities and at the region, looking at sustainable transportation together. And the idea of overcoming any existing barriers that have maybe from legacy projects, led to maybe misconnections or breaks in the active transportation network. And we're really filling those in together. We often are doing service changes that unlock new areas of the community with access to transit. And in doing so, we look at those smaller missing links that may be part of a longer-term corridor reconstruction project, but there's an immediate need for that small missing link to be filled. And that's where transit, in collaboration with our region partners, as well as our local municipal partners, are able to look at how we can infill that to make it an easy and intuitive choice.
How is the region doing when benchmarked against comparable communities at creating these opportunities?
I think one of the strengths comes with our ability to be the owner and operator of a transit system, so Grand River Transit, as well as having such close collaboration with our local municipal partners. There's no invisible walls or invisible lines between our communities. Transit, helped break those barriers between communities, but, our active transportation network is the same way. And so when you're able to have this this partnership, this collaboration, and kind of speaking from the same lens of let's make this as easy and intuitive as possible wherever you're starting your journey. It really helps unlock opportunities to help build a sustainable community. So, you know, in the case of transit, we've been able to tap into federal and provincial funding opportunities to help do those station and stop access improvement projects that have made transformational change in our community. So we've been able to connect light rail transit to township of Woolwich and the St. Jacob's Farmers Market, a key Ontario tourist destination and a major employer, along a shared use, multi-use path that's about a kilometer and a half long. So an easy walk or and a very easy bike to the transit station. We're doing something similar in downtown Kitchener, where we have a soon to open trail that will connect to Central Station and the future site of the transit hub for GO and Via Rail services. It connects to the existing Trans-Canada Trail line, which is the Iron Horse Trail in that area, and it connects through all three communities, providing an easy piece. In Cambridge, we are part of a major rollout of bike parking, the region's largest investment in bike parking at all of our GRT Express stops throughout the region. And the intent with that was to serve as the backbone for our shared micromobility system. So we're able to use bike parking and expanded station stop pads to house e-scooters and e-bikes in Cambridge and as well as Kitchener and Waterloo. So, you know, when we look at this sort of together, our both transit and then the region and then municipal partners together looking at how we can unlock infrastructure, programs, and policies that are having a transformative impact on our local network. So we are definitely punching above our weight when it comes to a connected system, an intuitive system, one that if you start your trip in Cambridge, if you start biking in Cambridge, you can expect to run into the same type of infrastructure and generally have the same type of wayfinding and see where your end destination is as you enter Kitchener and continue on even into Waterloo. It's ultimately a user experience. We have to give the best possible user experience because there's multi-billion dollar car companies that are investing all of their resources into making a best possible user experience for the personal automobile. And we have the best opportunity to invest our much more limited resources in not only connecting our network, making that great user experience and demonstrating the kind of community impact and change and the type of community people want to live in, work in, and makes us as a region more competitive globally.
And another sign of progress in building an integrated network is that when the e-scooter and e-bike program was in the works for this region, Neuron saw Waterloo Region 3 cities as a single market, a dedicated, well-integrated community.
So what's next for e-scooters and e-bikes? Julie Boulanger with the region's transit services says her team will be looking to the community to help answer that.
It's exciting to see the program grow and hear from everyone on where they'd like to see micromobility go in the future. And we're continuing to work with Neuron to incorporate the feedback that we get from users and from the community. Region and city staff are currently working with Neuron on the 2024 service area expansion. And we hope to focus more on equity as the program matures so that more people in the community can access the service.
How does your team determine where to expand?
So back in 2020, consultants prepared a shared micromobility feasibility study. And so that included a map of areas with anticipated high demand. This guided how we define the service area in year one of the program and continues to inform our approach. Now we're working with partners at the cities and Neuron to identify spaces in new neighborhoods that can accommodate Neuron stations. Neuron has presented recommendations for stations in neighborhoods where they would like to provide service, and we're looking at feedback we receive from the community. But the final approval of a proposed Neuron station depends on the ownership of the land. And at the end of the day, this is a very collaborative process done in partnership with the cities.
Collaboration seems to be key to all of this, working together across divisions, departments, and municipalities to create one seamless network of sustainable transportation.
Yeah, it's just one of the ways the region and the community are coming together to address climate change. As Kevin put it, public transit supporting active transportation is one stop on our route to a sustainable community.
Thanks for listening and stay tuned for our next podcast addressing chronic homelessness in Waterloo Region. Bye for now.
Thanks. Our trip has ended. See you soon.